I tried. I tried. Hey, one of the key verses that we used last week was Jeremiah 1:5. I want to read that real quick. And it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you. Well, I was thinking about this morning. Either he knew what your life was going to be before you formed you in your mother's womb. He knew that you were going to be a guy who knew you were going to be a girl. He knew what was going to transpire. Or he's got a room up there in heaven and says, hey, send me down November 2nd, 1963. I got a plan for him. Send him to his mother's womb. Anybody got any cotton? I want to hear cotton drop. So anyway, humor, levity, come on now. But anyway, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. Miss Dorothy, before you were born, God set you apart. I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, I won't use any names, but I did talk to Miss Dorothy about this a couple of days ago and asked if it'd be okay if I shared it in general with some people. Before she was born, he set her apart to do what? She's had a life, a long life, still living it, still going strong, still doing things for God. Last week, she ministered to a young lady, family member, and led that family member to the Lord. Come on. He had a plan for her that last week was a part of that plan, that this person would be in her life. This is all part of the plan, that she would share the gospel, first of all, through a letter, and then actually speaking to her, would share the gospel in a letter, then speaking to her, all a part of his plan, and then eventually praying with her to receive Jesus as her Savior, all a part of his plan. This person lives in Hawaii. When Carrie and I go to Hawaii, we'll be 15 minutes from where they live. His plan. Long before God formed her in her mother's womb. Some people say, oh, that's just chance. Those are just things that happen. No. Planned before he formed her in her mother's womb and set her apart to do what she did last week at 105 years old. Come on. Come on. Tell me God isn't good. Somebody tell me that. Nobody can tell me that. So I'm realizing more and more that God has great big pre-womb plans for me. He has great big pre-womb plans for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got pre-womb plans for you. You know, and I grow more and more excited to find out what they are. For me to find out what the plan of God is for my life, I need to position myself to hear him speaking to me about his plan for my life. Well, how do we find out most of the time God's plan for our life? We'll get into a little bit more detail here a little bit later on, but you got to talk to him. I heard Jesse DePlanta say he never prays. Worldwide preacher, he never prays. I'm thinking, huh? He says, I have a conversation. Pray, I think sometimes the church tries to make things too religious. I understand when somebody says pray, but really when you're praying, you're just talking to God. And when I talk to God like this. I've said it before, I'm out on the disc golf course over here at Lakeland, and I'm talking to God. I'm walking down the fairway, I'm talking to God, I'm talking out loud, and I'm out there by myself, and if anybody were to see me out there talking to God the way that I was, they'd have said, that guy is nuts. There's nobody around, and he's just out there talking. But when I talk to God, I say, hey, God, you said, I remind him what he said. I make a case for what he said with regards to the things that are going on in my life. God, you said, I'm running a little short this month. You said, my mind's not quite right now. But you said that you had the peace that passes all understanding. I want some of that peace. I'm running a little short. All the silver and gold's yours. The cattle on a thousand hills are yours. I need you to kill a cow. Because I need to put some beef in the freezer. Carrie put some pork in the freezer from the Windsor Market the other day. We usually run our food supply down pretty low before we go buy something else. But anyway, but he's got great big plans for you. I want him to unfold those plans today. I don't want to wait till next week. God, what do you have for me? I'll talk to you next week about it. No, I want to know what his plan for me is today, because when I walk out that door, there may be somebody that I come in contact with that is part of the plan, and I want to be positioned before I go out that door to know and recognize, okay, that's part of the plan. God wants me to speak to that person. I've seen people walking down sidewalks before, and as I'm walking toward them on the sidewalk, I say, okay, God, I'm ready. If you've got something for me to speak to them, I'm ready to say it. Now, I've had some of them when I'm, maybe it's because when they're walking toward me, I'm staring them down. And they turn their head and they kind of walk a little faster this way. I don't know, but I'm always ready. I'm always in position. I told Sonny here not long ago, every time I meet somebody, my first thoughts are they born again and do they go to church? That's just where I'm at. But he has plans for me. You know, and sometimes we make our own plans. You know, some of them are big plans, such as like going to college. It's kind of a big deal when you graduate high school, going to college, or going to a trade school. Nowadays, I mean, you might want to go to a trade school. It doesn't cost as much, and you can make a lot of money. Now, if you're going to become a doctor or a lawyer, I want you to go to college. I want you to go to medical school, because before you start, I don't care if you stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. I want you to have gone to college for those professions. But there are other professions that, you know, maybe you want to try a trade school. But other big plans that we make for our lives, to have a family, get married, get a job. One of my daughters, I won't say their name, they said something about, you know, a boyfriend, getting married, this type of thing. And my first question was, does he have a job? I want him to have a job. But those are plans that we make. Sometimes we make smaller plans, like who we're going to hang out with later on. Going on vacation. Carrie and I made plans yesterday to hang out with somebody today. We're going to have fun doing it. We're going to go on vacation in September. We're going to have fun doing that. Now, if God were to say, cancel your vacation in September, I'll cancel my vacation in December. But so far, he hasn't said to cancel our vacation in September. Nah, I won't say that. Anyway, or we might make plans to go home today for lunch, and we're going to make a pizza, you know, or we're going to go to our favorite pizza restaurant, wherever that is. If you've got a good pizza recipe or a favorite pizza restaurant, leave it at the Connection Center, and I'll pick it up on my way out the door, just so you know. And I won't say that either. Boy, I got a lot of stuff I want to say, but I'm not going to. But most of us, we have some idea for our future, whether it's the next 10 minutes or whether it's the next 10 years. And the simple truth is, we spend so much of our time designing our future and focusing on fulfilling the ideas that we have for ourselves. But what happens when our plans don't align with God's plans? I heard a quote here yesterday. It says, I want just enough Jesus to bless my plans, but not enough Jesus to change them. Anybody ever been in that spot? This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Lord, bless me. You know, I wanted God to bless my plans of hooking a trailer up to the back of my truck, put my logo, First Place Ministries, travel the country to 15 disc golf events throughout the year, minister to the disc golf players on Saturday nights, set up my booth on Sunday morning, got my prayer tent out there, got my literature out there, praying for the players, mingling with the players, doing that from April to October, then refueling and restocking after that, and then hitting the road again. That was my plan. God had other plans. I wanted him to bless that, but I was willing to change that. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to look at verse number 8. We're going to get into how do we know the plan of God for our lives. We're going to get into how do we walk out the plan of God for our lives. We're going to get into that today. It might be 3:30 by the time we get there, but we're going to get to it today. It says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways or my plans are higher than yours, and my thoughts and my plans are higher than your thoughts and your plans. If you listen to God, if you listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His plan, He'll make you look like a genius. People will say, how did they know to do that? How that path that they're on is such a successful path that they're on. How did they know to be on that plan? Because they listened to what the Spirit of God had to say. They asked the Spirit of God, what is your plan for me? It's that simple, really, when it comes down to knowing the plan of God for your life. God, what do you have for me? And He'll speak to you through His Word. He'll speak to you through His Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you through other people. All these different ways He'll speak to you. If you're positioning yourself to know what the plan of God is for your life, I mean, who wants to live life, I've said it before, wake up in the morning, go cut the grass, eat your lunch, eat your supper, go to bed, wake up and do it all over again. What kind of life is that? That would be terrible. Although I like to cut grass, just so you know. I like to trim bushes. I was trimming the bushes, not the bushes, but the grass and around the trees at the park across from where I live yesterday. I like using the weed eater. But he says here in Ephesians 3:20 as well, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You think you got a plan for your life? He goes above and beyond whatever you could even think, imagine, whatever you could come up with. He says he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could even ask about, anything that we could even think about. He's got a plan for you that's far above that. And how do you find out the plan? Ask Him. Position yourself. The two verses that we've kind of used as our key verses for this study is in Jeremiah 1 and Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read those real quick again. Jeremiah 1:5. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans. God, speaking to Jeremiah, I know the plans. Gary, God says He knows the plans. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they're plans for good. God doesn't give bad plans. If there's an attack against your life, it is not God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we realize the Word of God that we can have planted in our hearts, in Luke 10:19, it says, God says, Jesus is saying, I have given you all authority, all power over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons. And I've given you all authority over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if He's given you all authority, that's part of the plan of God for your life. His Word is part of the plan for your life. It is the plan for your life. If that's part of the plan, when things come against you, then the Bible also says that you can bind those things that come against you. And you can loose things, you can call down things from heaven. Father, this peace that I'm going, that I'm not experiencing right now, this turmoil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast you out of my life. And God, I call down the peace that you said passes all understanding to flood my heart and to flood my soul, to flood my entire being. And if He promised that He would give you the peace that passes understanding, then expect it and it'll come. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The plans, they are plans for good and not disaster. If there's disaster in your life, it's not God's plan. Sometimes we make goofy decisions too. We blame the devil for a lot of things, but sometimes it's just our bad choices. But it says they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He thought about me pre-womb. He's continuing to think about me. The plan for my life is continuing to unfold. The plan for your life is continuing to unfold. I don't care if you're 2 or whether you're 172. The plan of God will continue to unfold in your life as long as you draw breath on this earth, and we need to position ourselves to find out what it is and do it. We ought to be excited right now. You ought to be excited right now because God said He had a plan for you long before you were even in your mother's womb. He said He had a plan for you that is good and it's not disastrous. He said He's got a plan for you that's going to give you a bright future and a confident hope. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. Whew. I'm about ready to run across this stage. And I don't run, but I'm about to. But I believe we should be excited. But you know what? The only reason that we wouldn't be excited is because we prefer our plans over His. Ooh. Do we choose what we want to do that's contrary to what the Word of God says? Huh. Those plans can lead to disaster. Those plans cannot be good. Those plans don't give you a future. Those plans can't give you a confident hope. But only Jesus can. You know, for me, when someone says that they have something for me, don't you get a little excited? Something good, not something bad. I got something for you. You ever heard that before? No. Hey, man, I got something for you. Ooh, really? What you got for me? And it made me think of Christmas time. And as a kid, me and my brother and sister, we would sit at the top of the stairs, all three of us sitting on that top stairs. My mom and dad were downstairs getting everything ready. But, you know, my mom and dad, they thought about Christmas before Christmas got there, just so you know. God thought about you before you got here. They thought about Christmas before it got there. They were making plans before Christmas got there. And so here we are, we're sitting at the top of the stairs. Dad's getting everything ready downstairs. There you go. Da-da-da. But they're getting everything ready downstairs. And then when they called our names, Kim, Rick, Steve, come on down. Two. I mean, we were down the stairs. We were going, and we threw ourselves in front of the Christmas tree. Yeah, I said Christmas tree in church. But we threw ourselves in front of the Christmas tree, and we are eagerly anticipating. What in the world is in those packages? There was one year that I didn't have very many packages under the tree. I'm thinking, what in the world? They don't like me anymore. But when I walked outside, there was a motorcycle sitting out there. Okay. That made up for it. But we're sitting there, and there was one year, my sister and I don't remember, I must have wiped it from my memory, but she said that we went downstairs before anybody got up, and we opened the presents. And we tried to tape them back together. Just so you know, they weren't taped back exactly like they were before. So we got found out. But anyway, we're down there in front of the tree, and when they called our name, Jesus is calling our names now. He said, man, I got something for you. Are you ready for it? Are you eager? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat? You should be, because His plans are good. But we sat in front of the tree, ready to tear into them and find out what it is that we had gotten. This should be a picture of how we should react when God says, I got good plans for you. I mean, and not just when you come to church. You wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, and you're sitting on the edge of your bed, and you're thinking, okay, let me get myself up. No, we should be thinking, what's God's plan for me today? He's got a plan for me today. He's got stuff for me to do today. God, what is it you got for me to do today? I would pray when I was working my other job, retired from there, but I would pray every day, Lord, give me somebody to talk to about you today. I don't care who it is. I don't care whether it's staff. I don't care whether it's inmate. I don't care who it is. Give me somebody to talk to about you today, because I know that's His plan for me, because He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, so that's part of His plan for us. So I'm waking up in the morning asking God, give me somebody to talk to today. Open the door so that those words come out in the time that they should and they don't seem awkward. And every time I prayed that, and now I don't really pray that anymore, I just expect it to happen. But when I was praying for that to happen, every single time the door was opened. And every single time I got an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. But I was ready. He called my name, said, Rick, here it is. And I ran down the stairs just like I was going for those Christmas presents, ready to find out what He had planned for me. God's saying He has plans for us. What are your plans for me? Ask yourself that. God, what's your plans for me? Ask God that. What's your plans for me? What's your plan for my life? I know it's not just waking up and going to work and coming home. There's got to be more to it than that. Before I went to Bible school, I was driving a vehicle, working at this hospital, and I finally asked God. I said, God, there's got to be more to this retirement that I'm doing than working this part-time job and seeing my grandkids. There's got to be more to it than that. And that's when he said, okay, you're going to Bible college. And I'm like, and I out loud said, okay, and turned around to look in the back seat to see who had just said that, because it seemed that real to me. But I just asked him, and he made himself known to me. I positioned myself, and he made himself known to me. How badly you desire something is revealed by how strongly you pursue it. How badly you desire something is revealed by how strongly, if you pursue it in a mediocre type of way, you're not really that excited about it. But if you're excited about the things of God, if you're excited about that when I'm saying here, and actually his word says in Jeremiah 29, he says, I got a plan for you. If you can get excited about the plan that God has for you, you may not know what it is right now, but you can get excited because he said he has a plan for you. And I don't care if you're 105, he still has a plan for you. Your plan is not complete. You're sitting in this place today. You're alive. You're breathing air. Your plan is not over. The plan of God is not over for you. Well, I've done all kinds of goofy things leading up to this point. I don't care who hasn't. God knew you before you were born. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you before you became a Christian. And he still says, I got a plan for you from way back then to all the mess that you walked through. Might have caused yourself some problems, but all the mess that you might have walked through to today, you're born again. He said, my plan hasn't changed for you. I've got plans for you. How bad do you want to know his plan? Is it something you want to know? Do you want to know what he has in store for you? It can't be struggle. Who like anybody here like to struggle? Okay, good. Nobody raised their hand. Pull mine back down. No, we don't like to struggle. Well, his plans are not struggling plans. His plans are good. Let's look at this picture that David paints of his pursuit of God. We're going to be found in Psalm 63. And let this be our prayer. David's talking to God. David was a mess. Dave Bowen and I were talking about it this morning. David was a man after God's own heart. How many times have we heard that? And that's good, and he was. But David was also the guy who was watching Bathsheba taking a bath up on the roof and liked her a lot, called her husband, have him sent to the front lines so that he could be killed, so that he could take Bathsheba as his own wife. David was a mess. He'd done some dumb stuff. But David was always quick to repent and get his heart right. It says in Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Think about that. Oh God, you are my God. God, there is no other God like you. You are my God. Early in the morning, I'm going to seek you. I want to know I want to know you. I want to know the plan that you have for me. I'm going to seek you early in the morning. I'm going to seek you all day long. I'm going to keep myself in position to where I can say, I run into a messed up situation. God, help me with this messed up situation. And he all of a sudden gives you an idea. He all of a sudden presents somebody in front of you that helps you through that messed up situation. We find ourselves in messed up situations. But he says, oh God, you are my God. Early in the morning, as soon as I open my eyes, will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Everything, every ounce of my being desires you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want to know you. I want to know your plan for me. It's kind of like I used this example years ago when I was teaching at an assisted living place. And anybody ever lost their car keys? Somebody raised their hand quick back there. There's another one. Got a few. Okay. Lost your car keys. And you got to go. You got to go to work. You don't want to be late. I said this morning, if you're not at least 20 minutes early, you're late. But anyway, you don't want to be late. And so you don't know where your car keys are, so you start frantically looking for them. You're like, where's my car keys? You look, open the refrigerator and look behind the milk and the rotten cottage cheese back there, knowing it's not there, but you look there anyway because I got to find those car keys. I got to get where I need to be. I'm searching. I'm desperate to find those car keys because if I don't get where I need to go, I got to find those car keys. David's saying, that's how I'm searching God, searching for God. That's how I'm longing for God. I got to find God. I got to put myself in a position to where I'm seeing God. I want to know Him more. I want to know the plan of God for my life. I got to know Him. He's got to be first place in my life. When He becomes first place in your life, the things of this world can't overtake you. The problems, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. James chapter 1. You're going to have trials in this world. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work so that you may be complete and lacking in nothing. If you lack wisdom, ask and He'll give it to you liberally. He keeps on saying ask and He'll give it to you. We have not because we ask not. Now, I'm not trying to create or try to figure out what I'm supposed to be in God. He already has the plan. I don't have to figure it out. I just got to ask Him about it. I'm not trying to figure out, does God have a plan for my life or this church? He already has a plan for this church. He has a plan for you. I'm settling into the fact that He already has plans drawn up for me and this church. I've settled into that. I'm just asking Him, what are they? And He's showing me step by step by step some things that are going to be going on. Once again, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He has plans for us, and we should want to know what they are. You should want to know what they are. Now I wrote here, half-hearted seeking will never yield wholehearted results. If you seek Him half-heartedly, you'll get half-hearted results. You won't see the big picture. But if we're searching for Him with our whole heart, we will get the big picture. But I've gotten to the point for myself, and we all need to, that when we wake up in the morning, we need to wake up with the mindset, what do you have planned for me today, God? You said you had plans. I don't know all the plans, but you said you had plans. And so what do you have for me today? Is anybody excited that God has plans for them? Somebody needs to give me some amens once in a while. Brother can't get an amen preaching like that. But anyway, but He has plans for us. It's kind of like a mom and a kid interacting here. Can't find his shoes. And the mom tells him, well, they're always in the closet. I've looked in the closet. I've looked everywhere for them. And then mom goes in there and looks in the closet. And what does she find in the closet? His shoes. But he's looked everywhere for those shoes. Mom knows where they are. Mom knows where they're supposed to be. God knows the plans for your life. Go to Him. Ask Him what they are. We've got some that are in college right now. God has a plan, has a purpose for her life. I believe she sought God for that plan and that purpose for her life. And when I need a lawyer someday, I knew who to call. Of course, it's pro bono, right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Free for those who don't know. But no, I will never need a lawyer as far as I know. Now, the statute of limitations has ran out on that, so I'm good in that area there. Okay, but if you're looking for something, you're excited when you find it too. Anybody ever been to an auction? Growing up as a kid, I hated going to auctions. My mom and dad loved to go to auctions. I kind of like going to them a little bit now, but I don't buy much because we downsized quite a bit over the years. But you go there and you start looking at the stuff prior to the auction starting. You're digging through the boxes looking for that one little treasure, peeling back this layer and peeling back that layer. And all of a sudden, you find it in the bottom of the box, sitting off in this corner, that thing that you were looking for. Man, I've been looking for that for I don't know how long. So what do? You remember the box, but before you leave that box, you try to put other stuff over top of it and wrap it up so nobody else sees it, so that you get first crack at it. You know, nobody knows that's in the box. You're just buying the box. But you're peeling back the different layers looking for that one little treasure. That's how I'm seeking God for my life. You got a plan and a purpose for me? Man, reveal it to me. Peel back the layers. I want to know what it is. Until I get to heaven, that's my ultimate goal. I want to know what every plan you have for me is while I'm still here on this earth. I want to know every person that you want me to talk to as long as I'm here on this earth. I want to have the words to say, because I know the plan of God for my life is to get the word on the inside of me and share it with people that I come in contact with. I want to know what your plan is for my life. I'm eager to find out what it is. Man, do you wake up like that? Or do you wake up thinking, ugh, it's Monday, I got to go to work? No, it's Monday, and God's got a plan for Monday. God's got a plan for Tuesday. You know what? And God's got a plan for the weekend. And there can be fun mixed in with that. Anybody like to have fun? I like to have fun. If you hang around with me, you'll say, man, Rick is just such a fun guy. But we need to be searching for what it is that God has for us. How badly you desire something is revealed in how strongly you pursue it. The way that you look for them keys, the way that you look for them shoes, the way that you look for that treasure in the bottom of that auction box, we should be looking for them even harder when it comes to the plans of God for our lives. Zechariah 4:10, we're going to look at that here in just a second. When we start to find out what the plan of God is for our lives, it may be something small to begin with. Number one, probably because if he revealed everything to us, it'd blow our minds. We wouldn't be able to handle it all. So it may be something small. And in Zechariah 4, starting with verse 10, it says, "Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Oh, that was good there. Don't get down on yourself because God, well, all he's showing me to do is just to pass out this little flyer, this little Christian leaflet. Well, you know what? Some people are afraid to do that type of stuff, just so you know. But it's nothing big. It's nothing major. I'm not reaching hundreds and thousands of people. He says, don't despise the small beginning. He just wants to see you get started. He wants to see the work begin. The plan, it might seem small in the beginning, but they are plans. And they were meant for you. And he had them before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Some of those plans, it may be that you just come to church and you smile. We talked about that this morning. Smile, but try not to be fake. Anyway, but if you have to, no. But it might be a smile, it might be some kind words. It might just bring your fun. Sometimes bringing your fun is fun. Sometimes bringing your fun helps lift somebody else out of a funk. Nobody here today is in a funk, are they? If they are, get up with me later on because I'm fun. And I'll help bring you out of that funk. You know, part of your small beginnings might be just invite a friend or a family member to church. I see the kids back here have a cousin or somebody here, I think it's a cousin, here at church with them today. Just ask somebody. A lot of people don't come to church because they've never been asked. Ask somebody. Everybody in here, you ask somebody to come next week and they come, this place is full. Cotton drop. Okay. But this place is full. It could be that you're handing out, we got books on these shelves back here, Word of Faith, Faith Library books here. When I first got here, we were trying to sell them and I took the price tags off of every book. I said, give them away. We got shelves of them back here, and I've got access to more. If you want, walk through that little door there, grab a book, find one that you like, go give it away. That may be part of the plan of God for your life right now. A lot of times he's just willing to see, he's just wanting to see if you're going to be obedient and do what he says. But it was God's plan also for you to be here this morning. Well, no, I always come to church on Sunday morning. Well, you could have chosen not to come this morning. I'm glad you didn't. But it was God's plan for you to be here in this church this morning. Have you asked him what the plan is while you're here this morning for your life? August 3rd, 2025, 10 a.m. Have you asked him, is there somebody here at the church that you've been drawn to speak to? Have you asked him, what is it you want me to say to him? What's the plan? What do you want me to do? In Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start with verse 7. All of this, finding out what the plan of God is for your life, I mentioned it last week that sometimes you just got to go to school to find out. You got to get an education. And the school that you have to go to is the school of the rock, Jesus. And probably one of the first subjects that you have to take is prayer. You got to talk to him. You got to have a conversation with him. And in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, it says, ask. It doesn't say, oh, Father, thou arteth in heaveneth, howeth. No, don't talk like that. Nobody talks like that, that I know of. Maybe somebody talk King James in here. Anyway. But it says, ask, and it'll be given to you, whatever it is. It says, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. For everyone, any everyone's in the room. There's got to be at least one everyone in the room. For everyone who asks, receives. And he or she who seeks, finds. And to him or her who knocks, it will be open. God, what's the plan for my life? You just asked. And then he goes on here to say, seek and you'll find. Position yourself to listen to whatever it is he has to say. And then the last thing it says here, knock. God, remember I asked. I bug God about some things sometimes. Now, maybe I'm a little impatient. It's better to stay on his timing. But he's saying here, ask. He's saying to seek. He's saying to knock. And it'll be revealed to you. How do I know the plan of God for my life? Ask, seek, knock. Just ask him. Ask him. Read his word. Put your nose in the book. And don't take it out. Because a lot of times he's going to speak to you through his word. All of a sudden you'll be reading along there and you'll say, ooh, that applies to this situation over here. I know, because that's part of the plan that I have for you, is to know what my word says and how to apply it to the situations you find yourself in the world. In Jeremiah 33:3, we're talking about asking. That's how you find out the plan of God for your life. Ask him, read his word. Ask him and read his word. It says, call to me, or ask, and I will answer you. I will tell you of great things. All these plans I have, I'm going to reveal them to you. I'm going to tell you about them. I'll tell you of great things. Things beyond what you can imagine. Man, I've got a wild imagination. I can think some crazy stuff. I still want to go jump off of a cliff on a bungee cord. I saw some big boulders in Hawaii that I think I don't want to jump off of when we're down there. Do some cliff diving. I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll survive. Because Carrie probably won't let me do it. Anyway, but moving on. But it says, call to me or ask and I'll answer you. I will tell you of great things, things beyond what you can imagine, things you could never have known. I don't know the whole plan of God for my life. But he's saying he's going to tell them to me. He's going to show them to me. He's going to show them to me in bits. He's not going to give me the big picture. He's going to show them to me in bits. So as he shows them to me in bits, I'll be equipped in that bit. He trusts me with that bit. And then when I accomplish that bit, then he's going to show me another bit. He's going to peel back another layer of the onion. for the plan of God that he has for my life. And I'm excited about it. And I'm going to go to his word. I'm going to find out what it is he has to say to me. I'm going to listen to him when he speaks to me through his word. I'm going to listen to him when I hear that voice in the back seat of my car and I turn around because it seems so real to me. I'm going to listen to him when he puts me in front of people like you and you're sharing something with me and you don't even know what you're saying necessarily, but it speaks something to me and it helps me. It helps me. You guys are a part of the plan of God for my life. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb, and he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he knew that you would be here with me and that I would be here with you and that we would all be a part of the plan of God for our lives working together. We're in this together. Man, I said it before, there better not be any lone rangers in the kingdom of God. If you're going through something and you keep it to yourself, I almost said shame on you, but I don't wish shame on anybody. Knock it off. Get a phone number. Call somebody. Turn to God first, and he'll tell you who to call. I know there's plenty of people in this house here, right now. Their phone numbers are available 24 hours a day. Another thing, like I said, going along those lines there, part of the plan of God for your life is for us to be amongst one another, is for us to be with one another. Hebrews 10:24. This is in the Voice translation. I gave them a different translation, but this is the Voice because we don't have it back there. It says, let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love. We're to be loving one another. Greater love we're supposed to be having toward one another. Okay, we'll meddle in that a little bit later on. Greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community. We're a community. We're part of one another. Not forgetting to gather together as a community, as some have forgotten. Some people wake up on Sunday morning and say, I don't feel like going today. I've been there. I've said it before. I worked 12-hour days for 10 years. The last job I was at, the last 10 years, I worked 12-hour days. Church on Wednesday night. I didn't want to go. I was tired. And God said, you got to go. You lead the praise and worship. So I got up and I went. And when I got there, socializing, talking. I'm back here in my office today, and Dave Bowen was back there with me, and I heard out in the lobby, all the different voices, and I looked at Dave, and I said, I love it. I love the noise. I love the people getting together, encouraging one another, laughing together. I love that, and I encourage you, when service is over, don't just walk out the door. Why? Because it says here, this is part of the plan of God for us. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather together as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other. Anybody need any encouragement this morning? Sometimes I need encouragement. I don't know if I need it this morning. I feel like I'm pretty, I was going to say jacked up. Maybe a preacher not supposed to say jacked up. But anyway, I feel that way this morning. But he's continuing to reveal more and more to us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Y'all are masterpieces. Da Vinci, he might have something they call a masterpiece. Whoever a famous artist is, but God's saying, you're a masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. I don't care what anybody tells you. Oh, man, that'll preach. I don't care what anybody says about you, what they've said about you in the past. God says you're a masterpiece, and his opinion is the only one that counts. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God planned something for you long ago. Well, how do we know what the plan of God is? How do we find out? Ask, knock, and seek. Always pursue his plan. Sometimes we don't know if it is the plan of God. Okay, is it just me, something floating around in my head, or is it the plan of God? How do I know if it's God's plan for me? When you sense something, Does it glorify God? That's the first thing. Does it point to Him? Is it confirmed or does it line up with the Word of God? It's not something nutty, not something goofy. Does it line up with the Word of God? Does it seek to strengthen, bring comfort, and edify other people? And does it just seem good? In Acts chapter 15, verse 30, here you have the Jerusalem Council. They're trying to figure out whether they're going to let people like us into the church, the Gentiles. And so they send a delegation to Jerusalem. The guys there in Jerusalem, they talk about it and all this type of stuff. And the James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, there he's like, yeah, let's go ahead and let those Gentiles in. But we got a few things we want to make sure they don't do. We don't want them to eat the blood of animals. Anyway, some other things that they had, some regulations. But other than that, they're in. And so the guys, they go back and they present the letter to the people there. And they say, okay, you guys are in the club now. So y'all are in the club now. If you're born again, you're in God's club now. And then it says here, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter that came from Jerusalem. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a while, they were sent back with the greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. If something seems good, it lines up with the Word of God, it strengthens, it comforts, and it edifies people. If it points to God, and it's something that pops into your head, and it fits into those categories, go for it. What's the worst that can happen? You did something good for somebody? But it also might be the plan of God for your life. It also might be the very thing that was needed to turn that person's life upside down. He wants to use us. He needs us. Ooh, Rick said God needs something? Yeah. If he said he has plans for us to do good works here on this earth, then he needs us to do them. I'm going to land this plane here in about 2 minutes. I got a big long thing of scripture here. But Paul had plans for his life. Apostle Paul. And he was good at it. The plans he had, he walked them out. He fulfilled them. I mean, he was on the fast track to the penthouse, to the office at the top floor. He said, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without a fault. He had a plan, and he was on the fast track. Once I thought these things were valuable, he continues to say. These plans that he had for his life, these pursuits. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done, his plans for me. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage. The plans that I pursued that focused on me and nobody else, me, myself, and I, nobody else, I counted them as garbage, and I pushed them aside. For the sake of discarded them, as counted them as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying my thoughts and my plans, the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on. I'm not saying that I know the full plan of God for my life. I may not even say that I'm even walking out what I do know perfectly, but I'm going to keep on pressing on. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on. He said, but I keep on to achieve these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I'm positioning myself for the plans that He said He had for me long before I was formed in my mother's womb. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Man, forget your past. When you were born again, you no longer had a past. It was wiped clean. The stuff that you did back then that was wrong, Jesus says, I don't remember those things anymore. When you accepted me as Savior, your slate was wiped perfectly clean. It's white as snow. Forget about the past. Don't focus on those things. Focus on the plan and the purpose that He has for your life today. Seek Him. Ask Him, what do you got for me? And He's going to show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. And look, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep looking for whatever it is that God has for me. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, He's calling me. He's calling me. He has a plan and a purpose for me. He's saying, Rick, I got a plan and a purpose for you. He's calling me. And He wants me to walk it out. He wants me to fulfill it. He's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. He's calling you. He's wanting you to ask. He's wanting you to seek. He's wanting you to knock. Find out what it is. He'll reveal it to you. You feel like your life is going nowhere right now? You seem like you're stuck? Ask Him what the plan is, and He'll show you what it is. He may show you through another person. That's why you don't neglect gathering together here. I usually don't take advice, too much advice, from non-Christians. That's just me. But that's why we gather here. He may speak to you that way. I plan to find out all God's plans are, what they are for me. And it starts with me right now. It starts with you right now. Before you leave this place today, just ask Him, God, there's got to be more to life than what I'm doing right now, day to day. You said you had plans. I want to know what they are. And you can talk to Him that way. God, you said you had plans. I want to know what they are. And He'll tell you what they are. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Father, I just thank You this morning that Your Word says that You have plans for us. And if You said it, we can believe it. Father, myself, and there's some others here I saw shaking their heads as well. We don't want to just keep doing the same thing over and over every day. We want to know what it is that You have in store for us. And so, Father, right now, me personally, I'm asking for the next step. I'm seeking the next level. And I'm knocking on that door that I know that You're going to open up to me. I'm ready for it. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward here, but is there anybody else in this place here? Are they ready for the next step of God in their lives? Show of hands. Show of hands. Are you ready to have God show you what's next? If you're ready for Him to show you what's next, position yourself. Ask Him. Seek Him in His Word. And spend time with other believers. And He'll reveal Himself in those moments. You'll be driving down the road just like I was. I still say it was an audible voice that said, you're going to Rhema. And I out loud said, okay. But I positioned myself. I asked Him. I was seeking Him. I was seeking Him for a long time, for a lot of years for that. But it wasn't His plan at the time when I was seeking. His plan was for January of 2019. And that's when I got my answer. But He answered. So when you ask, if he doesn't answer right away, just know the answer's coming. He has the perfect moment to reveal it to you. And when he does, man, when he reveals the answer to you, I don't care if you're in a crowd of people or if you're whether you're by yourself, you should be jumping up and down, thanking him for answering and taking you to the next step. Father, I just praise you and thank you for your goodness in this place. And I thank you for your goodness toward the people in this place. And Father, we have an expectation just because we have an expectation of your word. You said to ask, seek, and knock. And so that's what we're doing. And in our alone times that we'll have over the next week, we'll seek you as far as the plan for our lives. Because we want every layer of that onion peeled back so that when we walk through those gates, we meet you in the clouds, you'll say, well done, and you are a good and faithful servant. So Father, as we leave this place today, we know that we don't leave you here, but we know that your Holy Spirit goes with us, leading and guiding us into all truth, speaking to us things that come directly from your throne, and showing us things to come, knowing that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, always by our side. We thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do this week and in the lives of these people here. In Jesus' name.